Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, brown cow, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing.
Hey, boss, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
I'm back. Jim Toronto with you this morning on a Sunday from the Skyline Studio here at WGN, 7:20 a.m. Filling in for Dean Richards this morning. Dean is in the Big Apple, New York, talking to a very impressive list of guests, including two-time Oscar winner Tom Hanks, who's in a new film about Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's getting a lot of Oscar buzz, especially for Tom Hanks' portrayal. And so Dean is in New York this morning talking to Tom Hanks. And you can see Dean's interviews from those talks tomorrow morning on the WGN Morning News. He'll be broadcasting live from New York and playing those interviews for you. So that's why he's not here, and that's why I am. And I will take you through until about 11:30 this morning, and then we hand things off, literally, to a football broadcast with the Cowboys against the Lions. But from now until 11:30, you've got Elton Jim with you to start your Sunday morning. Phone number is 312-981-7200. Throughout the show today, we'll be giving away a Tree Time gift certificate. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the fun show that we did last week from Tree Time in Lake Barrington, I was a part of Dean's annual Christmas remote, along, of course, with Shawnee and with Andy. We had a great time. Didn't we have a good time, guys?
Always have a good time there, sure.
Yeah. Andy still won't eat crickets.
Nope.
Well, not you.
Never going to happen.
You are you're still insect free.
I'm going to say publicly that that was the first and last time that I will probably eat some bugs.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the bugs weren't bad. I mean, the bugs were bad. I did not like the bugs. If you were listening last week, we did a segment called, what did he even call that segment?
Eating disgusting
foods. Yeah, eating disgusting foods.
Yep.
And not only did he bring in a series of dried bugs with spices, there was steak sauce, there was barbecue, there
was
pizza.
I was waiting for the chocolate-covered grasshoppers, yeah, and we never got them.
No, there was honey mustard crickets.
Yeah, and I didn't get any of those either, and something pizza-flavored.
Yeah, but I do have to say, we had the Scottish haggis, which I thought was very good. And as crazy as it sounds, and even though I think, Andy, you also did a pass on this. But Dave, partook is the word, in the turkey testicles. Yeah. And so did I.
I think that might be the first and last time, too.
Oh, I know. You know,
there really
I
wasn't much to them.
I wouldn't go out of my way to order them.
No.
And anything, you know, let's face it, anything that's deep fried is good. So,
it may taste good, but when you say good, does that imply, is it good
for
you?
If anything's deep fried with ranch dressing, it pretty much kills any taste anyway. I mean, you don't need to be a connoisseur or a foodie if you just, dip something with batter on it and then just cover it and drench it in ranch. It pretty much will taste just like ranch and breading, so... No, I didn't actually mind those. There was a little, you described them as kind of a livery taste. Didn't you say that they tasted
kind of
like
a chicken liver,
liver
thing that might have been covered in batter and fried?
Yeah, that's all it was. As I said, I was surprised by their size.
But then, as I pointed out, they're turkeys. What are you expecting?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess when you know, because I used to watch, remember Fear Factor?
Uh-huh.
That TV show with Joe Rogan, yep, where they used to eat all the crazy stuff. They used to have like bull testicles.
Well, yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess bigger the animal. Uh-huh. Okay, we won't even go there. But yeah, so, but I guess I was expecting a different size, I guess. But hey, if it works for them, it works for me. But we are going to play, as a nice little callback, if you will, which they say in the business, we'll play our 12 Days of Christmas song, which both Andy and Shwani both contributed, as well as many of the people in the audience.
That was recorded?
Oh, yes. That's there. It's here for posterity. It's here for posterity. All right. In fact, my wife said something, Dave, that in listening, she goes, you should be doing seven... Schwann's.
Well,
a swimming.
A swimming.
I did.
At one time.
This was a few years ago when we did a remote at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Oh, you did the seven.
Several years ago, and the number seven fell to me. And I did say seven Schwannies swimming.
Exactly. So next year.
Got a good laugh.
We have to. In fact, that was where the song actually originated, was at the Paramount. That was the first time we ever did it.
Was it the first time?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we just carried it over from there into the tree time.
Yeah, row. Because I just remember that that hallway had an amazing acoustics.
It had a reverberance.
Yeah. And that's where my five golden rings really showed off at that place. I mean, my gosh, I felt like it was in Carnegie Hall. It was unbelievable. So we'll play that. And at the same time, a little later in the show, we'll also give away a tree time coupon for, what do we get here? But... oh, nice. You get a pre-lit. Oh, it's not. It's actually a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree. Oh, that's pretty cool. Like a Bears or
Blackhawks
or Cubs or White Sox. That's pretty cool. And then later on, Shwani, are you a big disco fan?
I'll put it this way. It was fun to dance to.
How about you? Now, Andy, were you were born probably after the disco craze.
No.
No?
No. I'm a child of the late 60s.
Oh.
I was born in the late 60s.
Oh, so you and we were on the same age then. All right.
Yeah, so it took over grade school at the roller rink.
Remember that? Yeah, did you remember how?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no kidding. They used to have very nice foxtrots.
Yes.
And and very traditional.
We called them sock hops.
Well, no, at Andy's saying though, at the roller rink.
It was the Axel roller rink on Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah, there was the Axel. Yeah, there was the Axel on Milwaukee. There was also another one in Norwich. On Harlem, it was actually called the Hub at one time.
Oh, okay.
And they used to play the organ music.
Uh-huh.
And you would play the foxtrot, men only, women only. And then all of a sudden, like you said, in the 80s came, and all of a sudden, this band was played very much. We're giving away tickets to KC and the Sunshine Band today.
Hey.
That was a favorite of my girlfriend at the time. She played the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack album day and night.
Did you used to wear your boogie shoes?
I did have a pair of what they used to call the platform shoes,
there
the higher heels and that. But it, like I said, seriously though, it was fun to get out and dance to that music.
Well,
but
yeah, well,
listen,
he liked
sit
it.
There and listen.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Different story, but it was fun to dance to.
Well, you are. I know you are, Dave. I'm your boogeyman, Schwann. So
now I saw somewhere where KC and the Sunshine Band are part of a cruise thing.
Yeah, I want to go on that.
Go into the 70s. It's a 70s disco cruise.
Well, we're not giving that away. He's going to be at the Four Winds Casino.
Oh, at Four Winds?
In New Buffalo. So we'll be giving tickets away to that a little later in the show. And stick around. We got lots, 4 pounds of radio bologna stuffed into a 1 pound bag. As I said, I'm here till 11:30. As I look at the calendar here, today is 11/17/2019. My nickname is Elton Jim, and for Elton John fans, you will know that 11/17 is an interesting and prominent date. November 17th in 1970, Elton John performed for like 100 people. He had just started. He was doing a live concert that was broadcast live on the radio. Remember those days? And he played for about an hour or so. And just starting out with just him and a drummer and a bass player. And it was so popular that it started to get bootlegged. And so the record company, after a few months later, said, we have to put this out. And so they put it out as 11-17-70. So 49 years ago, that album came out. And I mention that because I remember buying that album at a record store in Oak Park in the mid to late 70s when I started to get into Elton, started to buy all of his albums. And the record store was called Valhalla in Oak Park. And it has now become an institution. It changed locations several years ago, but it's been in Oak Park for many years. The owner, Val Camaletti, who I've had on, and many people here at WGN have, she became an institution in terms of the local Chicago music scene. Sadly, she passed away about a year and a half ago. And she really was the cornerstone, the foundation of that store. She was not only had an encyclopedia-like knowledge of music, but she had an incredible passion for music. And when you walked into that record store, if you asked her any question about any record that was ever made, if she didn't know it right off the top of her head, after you talked to her for a couple of minutes, it came right back to her. And she usually had a story to go along with it. And it's a sad day because at the end of this month, Valhalla in Oak Park will be closing after more than 40 years. And it's kind of a sad day. I used to go in there when I was a little kid. And then as I got into my teens and 20s and bought used and new records there. And I live around that area. So for the last 10 or 15 years, I've been going there on a regular basis. Certainly miss Val and certainly will miss that. That old experience of going to a record store. Schwani, we don't have many record stores left. Is he there? Oh, he's gone. I thought he was walking around. Because we were talking about
sorry,
this
man.
Earlier. Oh, no problem.
I'm here.
We were just talking about, you know, going into a record store, and you were mentioning how you used to buy your records at a certain record
there
store.
There were several. There were several stores where I grew up in Northwest Indiana that was, you know, certainly, definitely at the center of my radar list. It was so simple. You'd hear a song on the radio you liked. You got your money from your allowance or cutting grass or something like that. You got on your bike, you rode to the store.
Yeah. And not only was it a record that you wanted, but you went into the record store almost like a library or like a bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
And you browse. I don't even know where you browse anymore today. I mean, I guess we browse online.
We browse online.
We don't physically browse anymore. And Valhalla, as I said, in Oak Park on Harrison Street, I believe it'll be open until November 30th. If you want
to. Oh, they're not going to go to through the end of
no,
the year,
I don't think so. I just think the you know, the finances
was
or whatever
a great
it is.
Store. And you know, if you didn't see what you had in there,
yeah.
Val would say to you, now I have access.
Oh, I know. Oh, believe me. Yeah, she helped me, you know, find many hard to find.
I can find something that yeah. we don't have in here, but I can get it for you.
Yeah, so it's on Harrison Street in Oak Park.
That was another thing, Elton, we were talking about service that those stores did for
yeah.
you. They would special order a record for you.
Exactly.
They've taken a week and
yeah.
a half to get in, and then they would call you
and say
when
it's
it was in.
It's in. I know. I love it. It's a lost art. It's a great store. If you want to get a little last vestige of nostalgia, check out Val's on Harrison Street in Oak Park. It's closing on November 30th. We're bringing the fun to you right here at WGN 720 AM. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning. I just did want to touch base on what we were talking about a little earlier about record stores. And I was mentioning how a very well-known store in a record store in the Oak Park area for more than 40 years, Valhalla, it had been announced earlier this month that the store was closing. In fact, two or three days ago, I just read another story in the Chicago Sun-Times about how the store was closing. And the current manager, Shane Blakely, was, you know, kind of a little, you know, depressed and kind of looking back nostalgically and wondering what was going to happen to the store and what he was going to do. You know, he had worked there for about 15, 20 years. And I have been a regular patron of Valhalla in Oak Park for many, many years, dating back to when I first started to buy records. And but I was out of town the last 2 days, and apparently on Friday, news broke that a local River Forest resident has come in as a partner and is going to make, I guess, an infusion of cash to help ease the debt of the store, and then maybe help out with the finances moving forward to see if the store can stay afloat. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's no more record stores out there, because there are a lot of record stores. Thanks to the new rebirth, to some extent, of vinyl, record stores are beginning to at least feel a little of a renaissance. And there are still some independent record stores. And, of course, I don't know if many of you know that, but every April for the last 10 years or so, there's been something called Record Store Day to celebrate the local and small business and privately owned record stores that are out there that are still, you know, selling records as well as CDs and things like that, used records as well as new ones. And so and a lot of artists release special edition records that it can only be purchased on that day in order to drive people into those small record stores. And I should say that, as I said, not only, in addition to Val's in Oak Park, on the northwest side near Six Corners where I grew up, one of the places that I went to was a place on Milwaukee Avenue right near the Portage Theater called, it's gone now, it's right near Fantasy Costumes, right where the bend on Milwaukee is there. It was called Deluxe Music. And that's where I built a lot of my record collection, especially my 45s. This place was a beautiful, one of these great old record stores. It smelled like wood and cardboard and vinyl. And they had almost every Billboard charted single 45 from 1955 on. And that's where I built my record collection. Good old Deluxe Music on Milwaukee. And then a place that I basically lived in for my teens and my 20s as well, in nearby Norridge on Harlem Avenue near Irving, Rolling Stone Records, which is still there. I think it might be there for almost 50 years. Still there. So, yes, the record stores are still alive. It's just that there's not as many as there used to be. And thankfully, Val's Hala got a reprieve. So kudos to, in fact, let me read this story here because I see the person's name. His name is Trevor Toppin, or Toppin, I'm sorry. And apparently, he's a River Forest resident, and he came to the store's rescue, calling... And of course, Shane Blakely, the store's manager, is calling him a guardian angel. And I guess Toppin's son helps out at the store, so maybe there's some kind of a connection there. But they're calling this a Thanksgiving miracle. As I said, just two or three days before, the store was about to close. It was supposed to close at the end of the month, and now at least it's going to stay open for at least another 6 or 7 months until... mid-2020, and they'll see if it is viable. So once again, record store fans, if you enjoy going to record stores, if you enjoy browsing around through old and new records, certainly Val's Hala in Oak Park, the late Val Camaletti, I'm sure somewhere is smiling right now that that the doors won't be closing, at least right now. But it is open. It is not closing in November. So... breaking news right here at WGN 720 AM. Jim Toronto, Elton Jim, filling in for Dean Richards. We're going to take a quick break after the news. We'll talk to Mike Kamernick about the weather. And then we will revisit some of our fun and Yuletide joy that we spread last weekend at Tree Time during remote broadcast from Tree Time in Lake Barrington. We will replay our fun and somewhat disastrous version of 12 Days of Christmas. And we will also give away a nice little Tree Time gift during that segment as well. So that's all after the 10 o'clock hour. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning. I should mention what I love about the urgency and the intimacy of radio is that it's a dialogue. And what I love here is I'm getting some texts. We used to get phone calls. We don't get as many phone calls because everybody likes texting these days. But I was talking about going to Boston this weekend and going to Paul Revere's house. And I was mentioning how there was another writer named William Dawes who also made one of those midnight rides to let the Minutemen know about the coming of the British. But then I was also reminded that there was another writer named Prescott and even a woman. You go, girls. Sisters are doing it for themselves, even back at the revolutionary times. There was a woman who actually went out and warned the Minutemen as well. So lots of heroes. As I said, Paul Revere, thanks to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, wound up becoming a folk hero and an American patriot hero for his "The British Are Coming, The British Are Coming," thanks to the poem that he wrote, "The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere." But it sounds like there's a lot of people that were involved in us getting a little freedom from England. But, yeah, go and search your history books, folks, because what we were taught in school many times is just a slight kind of, appetizer. Dig into the entree of history. There's some great, great food there.
Changing the weather.
Jim Toronto with you here at 720 WGN in Chicago. Filling in for Dean Richards this morning. Dino is out in New York talking to Tom Hanks.
Oh,
Mr. Big Shot. It's all right. I'm holding the fort down. Be here till about 11:30 or so, and then we send it to the NFL broadcast this week with Dallas and the Detroit Lions. But right now, we're going to the Weather Center, WGN-TV, and Mike Hammernick. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Jim. I'm doing well. How about you?
Not too bad. Woke up this morning to a little sun.
Yeah.
Not crazy.
No, it faded pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm looking out the window right now behind me, and it's I guess we would say it's bright. It's not sunny.
Yeah,
there's a brightness.
And as we go throughout the day, the clouds are kind of lower and thicken, and eventually we'll see some rain, but not yet. I think we probably have until 3, 4, 5 o'clock before the rain begins to settle in. So if you want to get something done outdoors, some decorating, cleaning up the yard, you know, we still have some time.
I have to give you kudos, my friend, because, a lot of times weather people get a lot of flack. Because, you predict
sometimes
something,
yeah.
And then, big high pressure system comes in and blows everything you said right out of the window, and everybody says, they don't know what they're talking about. But that's really not true. You pretty much, you don't miss, the weather today is so much more refined than it was. Everybody thinks it's like 40, 50 years ago when there was a lot of guessing going on, but seems like today that technology has really helped the weather forecasting business.
Immeasurably.
Yeah, but I have to say, so I was cringing last Sunday when we were at Tree Time.
Right.
During the broadcast, because you were talking about how Monday, the next day, this last past Monday, was going to be very messy in the morning and a little snow anywhere from 3 to 6 some places. You were painting a very, messy picture. And I was very concerned because I was flying out of O'Hare right at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Brother.
To go to Cleveland, which is not even an hour flight.
No.
To see Elton. And I was hoping against hope. As much as, Mike, I respect what you do, I was hoping you were going to be totally wrong. And boy, were you right on the...
did you make it?
9 hours later... 3 flight cancellations.
Oh, you could have driven.
I know, exactly. Exactly. It's only, what is it, like a 5 or 6 hour drive?
Although the roads probably weren't all that great either.
Yeah, that's exactly true. So I wound up, unbelievably, the music and the Elton gods were with me. The only flight out, at least on my airline, and don't forget, if you remember that morning, on Monday morning, a plane slipped off the runway.
That's right.
Right at 8 o'clock.
Right.
So that didn't help O'Hare.
That shut down a runway for quite a long time.
The whole day, practically, because then, the FCC had to come out or the FAA, I'm sorry, not the FCC. They weren't worried about that. The FAA. But so long story short, I was there for 9 hours. I got to the airport at 7. I took off literally into the air at 4. There's an hour difference, in Cleveland. I landed at 6:30. I got off the plane at 7:45. Wow. I got to my hotel at 7:10. I threw some water on my face. Thankfully, the venue was across the street. I was in my seat at 7:45, and Elton came out at 7:59, not even 8 o'clock. So I made the show.
Well, you cut it close, but fortunately you made it. Yeah,
but it was so messy.
A lot of people didn't.
My flight was the only one out that got there before 8 o'clock. There were 300 or 400 flights were canceled that day, And what was surprising, though, when I was watching the weather, it looked like it was going to, I thought I was going to be flying from bad weather in Chicago into equally bad weather in Cleveland. But it was only raining. It was pouring rain at 6 o'clock in the evening, but it hadn't snowed yet.
Yeah, it was too warm there yet. Yeah, still in the warm sector over in Cleveland.
Wow. So I got a little reprieve there, although I did get out early in the morning before, because it started snowing at about 7 o'clock in the morning in Cleveland, and I got the heck out of Dodge.
Yeah, I think they got some lake effect over there, too.
Yeah, so it was. We did have to be de-iced on the way out the next morning. But I did get there and get home, but I tell you, I got up at like 4 in the morning, and it hadn't snowed yet. And so I said, oh, maybe Mike's wrong. And that by 6 o'clock, I woke up and there was snow everywhere.
Yeah, the timing couldn't have been worse because it hit right during the worst of it hit right during the morning rush. I guess if it had started maybe an hour or two earlier, it would have been worse. But
it
was bad enough.
But I got to say, you hit it on the nail. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, well, once in a while,
good for you.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a little rain and maybe some just a dusting today.
Not even, you know, pretty much taking the snow out of the forecast now. Oh. It might be a few wet flakes. You might later tonight, but
I've been accused of being a wet flake, but that's a whole other story.
Do we have time for that? But no, not a big deal. In fact, this week, you know, we were sitting last Sunday, it looked bad because not only were we going to get the snow, but the bitterly cold air behind it. This week is looking much different. And these systems that are moving through this afternoon and tonight, much weaker, much smaller, less, not as organized. So we'll get a little hit tonight of rain, another hit of some rain, maybe a few flakes on Monday night. And then a bigger storm for Thursday, but that too looks like it's going to be rain and not snow.
Good.
And our average temperature, you know, our average temp last week, our high temp was a paltry 29 degrees.
That was the average?
That would be kind of warm for portions of January.
I was just going to say, that's like December.
Yeah. And this week, our Monday through Friday, averaged it out, or if the forecast works out, average high is going to be 45 degrees.
That's not bad. That's actually autumnal.
It's within the wheelhouse of where we should be.
Because we had
about 48.
We've had no. I mean, don't you love how you still see a layer of snow, a layer of leaves, and then another layer of snow?
It was strange.
We got no fall at all.
Yeah, it was very surreal seeing all the fall colors with the white. It's pretty in a way, but I don't want to do it again.
It was pretty for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you had to get out there and shovel.
Now it's old, yeah.
Yeah, no.
So you
take your picture, you send it into Tom Skilling, but then it's not pretty anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll thaw out more today, and I don't see us adding any snow in the next 7 to 10 days, right up on the front end of the travel holiday weekend. There may be a storm around Thanksgiving, but it's too early to really get too crazy about that. But over the next 10 days, more normal temperatures here, no major storms. And if we do see precip, it most likely is going to be rain and not snow.
Well, that is, you are now the bearer of good tidings.
Yeah, and last week, too, we talked about it's going to be kind of a blip, and, you know, it wasn't going to last. It was going to be a temporary drop for about a week, and then we get back closer to normal, and it still looks like that's going to be the pattern now for the rest of November and the first couple weeks of December, more of a normal type of fall pattern.
Well, very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I am not traveling to see Elton until March. So I don't have to worry about the weather in terms of O'Hare. I don't really care anymore. But my gosh, when I got to O'Hare, and even to drive from my house, which is not that far, I was just thinking about what you were saying the day before. I said, I was so praying he'd be wrong today. And I'm like, my gosh, he was so right.
I think he got lucky because a lot of people didn't get out at all.
Oh, believe me. So, but there were a lot of people swearing all around me. At the different counters, believe me.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Oh. But the bottom line is, too, and I want to just mention this quickly, it's not safe to really fly. Oh. I mean, I know how frustrating it is. I've been there.
Definitely.
Flight gets canceled. I mean, it drives you nuts because you need to get somewhere, and a lot of times it's important. But
it's not more important than your
first.
Safety.
I mean, yeah, it's just not.
Well, a week before that, I was going to Indianapolis, another 30-minute flight. We flew to see Elton. We flew to Indianapolis. We were over the runway. And it was raining and windy. It was on a Saturday a couple of weeks ago. It was pouring rain here, too.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, after about an hour and a half, we were told we're on our way back to Chicago. We tried to land twice.
No.
And we couldn't land. And we'll be back in Chicago in 10 minutes. And I said, wait a minute. We were, and the person in front of me said, you know, I looked out the window. I saw the runway. So we actually flew. I didn't even get credit for my frequent flyer miles on that flight.
Yeah, I don't think it was that much better here. I mean, maybe try to put it down in Indianapolis.
But there was once again the Elton gods are with me, because for whatever reason Elton canceled that show.
That's right.
So the best thing that I was swearing at the pilot until I got home and found out the show was canceled, and I was like, that's the best thing that could have happened, because my hotel was I had a free cancellation, the show was postponed until March, and my flight I got a refund, so I was even Steven. The greatest thing that could have happened was that
someone's watching out for you.
Yeah, the greatest thing that could have happened was the pilot didn't land it, because if the pilot did land, I would have been there with nothing to do, and I would have had to pay for the hotel. So I was swearing at the pilot for many hours, but in retrospect, I would have actually thought about knocking on the door and saying, hey, the Elton concert's canceled. Can you just turn around?
Yeah, let's go back.
Have you ever heard of a plane going back?
Very rarely. No. They usually get diverted somewhere else,
right.
But I guess...
You're so close.
Yeah, I really didn't think the weather was that much better here in Chicago than it was in Indy.
No, it took us another hour to get back into Chicago, too. Yeah. So, well, thank you, Mike Hamernick. You're spreading some good news today.
Yeah, better travel for this week for anybody that's going anywhere across the country.
Well, very good.
Storms.
Good to talk to you, man.
Good shape. All right, Jim.
Take care.
You bet.
That's Mike Hamernick from the WGN Weather Center, WGN Television. We're going to give away a Tree Time pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree, a certificate for one of those. You can visit treetime.com or go to their showroom on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington for the most spectacular selection of Christmas trees, lights, and ornaments that you can't find anywhere. Love, love Tree Time. We were just there last weekend. And here's how you win. Phone number here is 312-981-7200. If you were listening to the show last week, I joined Dean and his crew at the remote, and we did a version of the 12 Days of Christmas. If you can name the day and the item that I sang in the song, you will win the Christmas tree, the pre-lit sports-themed Christmas tree from Tree Time. What was my part of the 12 Days of Christmas? And if you want to know, then give a listen to this.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Whoa.
Yes. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds.
Three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five gold rings.
Four calling birds.
Three French hens.
Two turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying.
Five a-golden.
Four calling birds.
Three French hens.
Two turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Now they sound good.
Wow.
Now they sound like us.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming.
Six geese a-laying.
Five a-golden.
Four calling birds.
Three French hens.
Two turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Wow. I didn't know Joanne Worley was in the audience.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight maids a-milking.
Seven swans a-swimming.
six geese a-laying,
five a-gold-a-ring,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine ladies dancing,
eight maids a-milk,
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese
a-laying, five a-gold-a-ring,
four straight bears losses.
Three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a pond,
and a pond.
The 10th day of Christmas my true love gave to me.
We're probably going to only do 10 days, okay, because we're running short of time. But you get the hint. Ryan, the producer, why don't you kill that, and so I can talk to you.
You want more of that? That sounds so beautiful.
I know. Well, I like my part. And who's the winner?
Elizabeth of Aurora.
And she knew that I said, Viva Gola Harings. In fact, my wife told me I should sing, Five Golden Harings next year. Put the ho 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 in there. I like that. But yeah, so who was Elizabeth from?
Elizabeth of Aurora.
And she knew that I said five golden rings.
She answered so fast. She answered on the fourth person. She answered quick.
Well, I don't want to say anything, but it is a Chicago tradition.
Loyal listeners.
And everybody knows that I do five gold rings. And of course, Andy, I think, did three French hens, and I think, or four. Oh, Andy did four calling birds, and Schwanee did three French hens, and Dean did two turtle doves, and I did five gold rings. Toronto with you here at WGN 720 AM, filling in for Dean Richards. Dean's out gallivanting and hanging with the Hollywood elite, actually talking to Tom Hanks and others from the upcoming film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is a film about Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. And Tom Hanks is getting a lot of Oscar buzz for that, so you can watch Dean's interviews tomorrow as he broadcasts live from New York on the WGN TV News in the morning. But right now, you've got Elton Jim Toronto, live here at the WGN studios, the Skyline studio here at downtown Chicago. And on my phone, we're going to talk a little pop culture in the Pop Culture Club with Mick Kaler. Hello, Mayor Mixter. Are you there? Could you put him on? Okay.
Hello.
There he is.
Hey, buddy.
Well, my friend, we are pop culturing again.
Yep.
So, first of all, I want to mention Mick Kaler not only has worked in radio for many years, a producer with some of the legends in Chicago radio, like Larry Lujack and Murph in the Morning, but also your work can be heard on a regular basis on WGN Morning News. You write a lot of parody songs that they play during the news in the morning.
Yeah, me and Al Flash, and we just had one about a week ago for Robin Baumgarten's birthday. We turned Raspberry Beret into Baumgarten's birthday, and it went over pretty well. That was a lot of fun.
What I wanted to talk about in the Pop Culture Club today, just this week, and the onslaught will be coming in the coming months and certainly well into 2020. It's amazing how it's all. It's almost January 1st. But my gosh, 2 or 3 years ago, the idea of the TV stream seemed to be something that, was like a hipster cool thing to do. Not everybody did it. People that, did the stream, they were talking about cutting the cord and not getting cable anymore and blah, blah, blah. But it still seemed like a fringe thing. And obviously everybody was talking about Netflix and things like that. But my gosh, in the next couple of months, Disney Plus just debuted this month, or this week. The first day, they had 10 million subscribers.
Right, they had a little bit of a problem, too, getting it all going, too.
Yeah, they did, but and I know that they're giving away some promotional things. If you have Verizon or some other types of things, you may get a free subscription for a while, but they expected maybe 3 million on the first day. They got 10 million, and so suddenly, out of nowhere, Disney is now a major player in the streaming service world, and in the next several months, NBC is going to launch their own called the Peacock Stream Service. HBO Max is coming. We've already got Amazon Prime. We've got Hulu. We've got CBS Access. There are so many more streaming services, and what seemed like a little niche kind of, a little add-on thing maybe just to add just a little to your viewing experience, now a lot of people might be wondering, what do I do? Am I going to miss all these potentially either good shows or old shows that I like because I can no longer see them?
Yeah, well, obviously what you're saying is there's obviously this giant buffet of all these plates, and it's like, how much of this can you sample? And also, you know, even though there are specials, like you said, with the Disney situation, how much money can you afford to sample all these different outlets and these streaming services?
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point where I know each of them is maybe between $7 and $15 a month, and that might not seem like a lot, but to your point, if you subscribe to 7 or 8 or 10 of them,
yeah, you got some serious shekels going there.
Yeah, especially if you do want to keep your cable for at least your local stations and maybe some of your other kind of basic cable stations like a Comedy Central or, you know, an FX or a Bravo or something like that. I mean, you know what's interesting? When you think about the whole idea, people, and there's a lot of people, and Ryan is the producer here today. He's in his early mid-20s. Ryan, do you ever remember a time when you did not pay for television?
No. Oh, boy. No, I don't.
No, you don't, right?
Oh, yeah. Certainly for him. No way.
Yeah, so think about this. I mean, there was a time when there were only three networks?
2, 5, 7, 9, 11, 32.
Yeah, and maybe a couple other fuzzy UHF channels that had a lot of snow on them. I always thought that the White Sox played in snow.
I always thought snow on Channel 32 or Channel 44.
Yeah, I always thought it was snowing on the south side, like even in August.
Yeah.
At least on my TV.
Yeah.
And then I really believe that if you trace where this whole thing started, yes, there was the great cable revolution of the 80s, and that's when people all of a sudden started to decide that they would pay for television, and they would get certainly now a wider variety and more channels to choose from, as opposed to whatever the network decided you could watch in a much more restricted and limited way, that the way television was when it was just the three or four networks on free television. But I have to argue, and I don't know if it's just my view, but I wanted to get your opinion on this. Don't you think at the end of the day, where we're at today started because of MTV?
Out, yeah.
I mean, it was because MTV, people don't even realize it because now it's just one of the other offerings out there. But in the early to mid 80s, the idea of MTV, the idea of having a 24-hour channel, first of all, a 24-hour channel was a big deal, that just showed nothing but music and the coolest music of the day, was so compelling that was enough for people to decide, I want to pay for what was usually, and from the beginning of television, a free service. And it really was that need to be cool and hip and in with the in crowd to be able to watch MTV 24 hours.
Yeah, and a lot of people in my house was like this too. All of a sudden, the radio was not on in my house. My radio was on in my car, but my TV was always on MTV listening to music or, as you said, watching the video.
Yeah.
And that opened up the outlet where it's like, well, you can buy this cable package and you can get all these channels. And, oh, yeah, we'll throw your locals in, which you never paid for before.
Right.
But that, again, like you said before, it's like a package deal. Well, I'm getting MTV and I'm getting ESPN and CNN. Well, they'll throw in 2, 5, 7, and 9 and they'll be on my cable bill, too.
Now, I was a little hesitant initially to jump into the stream. Have you dove into the stream yet or no?
I did a free month of Netflix this summer and found myself not leaving the house for like 72 hours. And I said, I can afford it, but I can't do it because I'm too addictive to, things like that. I mean, I literally, seriously, this summer, in one day, I went through the entire Jerry Seinfeld new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Right.
Because as soon as one episode would end, they'd say the next one
right.
would start in 5 seconds.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I might as well just sit here. And it's the first time in my life I really binge-watched to that point. So I know my limitations. Now, when you talk about Netflix, now I'm stuck because I really want to see The Irishman, which is only
right.
two theaters in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I go back to Netflix because that's what's showing it as of the 27th?
Right.
Or do I go out to the theater and see it? And then I'm like, now what do I do?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I wound up getting Netflix about a year and a half ago. Basically, I was driven to do it because I was watching the annual Emmy Awards, and every show that was nominated
was a Netflix
was either a
deal.
Netflix or an Amazon or a Hulu or a cable. I mean, there's nowadays, if not for This for Us, This Is Us, there are very few, maybe The Good Place, there are very few network shows that are even nominated. And so I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, there's a whole world of content.
Yeah, they're missing.
That I'm, to the point of, like I said, I was initially kind of hesitant to get Netflix because I didn't know if I wanted another $10 or $15 charge.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed House of Cards when it first was the first Netflix.
Sure, that was their big first
yeah.
hit.
I would. Did you talk about binging? So my wife and I, a friend of mine had Netflix early on. We when like the new season would premiere with the 12 episodes.
Yeah.
We would go to his house at 10 in the morning, and literally watch all 12 episodes until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you can't even move your legs anymore. You're just stuck in your seat. And like I said, I know a lot of people who binge watch like that. And when I experienced it, I'm like, wow, this is very addictive.
So I mean, Disney now is the king of all content. I mean, think about what Disney has to offer. There's no surprise that Disney premiered this week with 10 million people subscribing as soon as it became active. I mean, think about what's in that vault. Walt Disney right now. He wouldn't even believe what
right.
he created. I mean, he
the
had
amount,
a,
the amount of content yeah. and availability and, like you said, presentation of so many shows, movies, specials, everything under their umbrella.
Well, think about it. All the classic Disney films, all the classic Disney cartoons. They also own all the Marvel films of the recent years. They also own the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, which continues to grow and will yeah. never stop.
They also own all the Pixar films, the animated films by Pixar, in addition to the Disney film. I mean, so it's no doubt as to why they're so dominant. And suddenly Netflix, I wonder, I mean, they've had the, they've been at the top of the mountain for quite a while, but now Disney pulled all of their content off. HBO and other, content, NBC is just pulling The West Wing, a lot of their content off. So now I guess the question from me and to you and to other people out there too is, what do you, do you have to see the new Jean-Luc Picard, series of The Next Generation on CBS Access? Do you want to see The West Wing entire binge on the new Peacock network on NBC streaming service that'll be coming? Do you want to see The Lion King? And do you want to see Mulan? And do you want to see Pocahontas? Because you have to get the Disney Plus now. Or, as you said, do you want to watch the new release of the Irishman, probably one of the best films of the year, which is going to be only on Netflix?
Now you got to prioritize. And to give you an example about how this streaming thing has affected movies themselves in the theaters, two nights ago I went to go see The Good Liar, which, by the way, is a really, really good movie. And on the promos for it online, it says only in theaters.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, The Irishman, you can go see it at two different theaters in the Chicago area. That new movie with Scarlett Johansson,
Marriage Story, yeah.
It's in a couple theaters, but it's also on Netflix. So it's like, okay, am I going to go to the theater? Do I subscribe to Netflix? You've got to prioritize what you want to see and how much you want to pay to see it.
Right, and as you said, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to make that decision about, do I want to keep my cable service, or how many of these streaming services? I mean, are you going to spend $300 a month?
Right.
I mean, there comes a tipping point, I would think, for the average household. Some people, with when it's bundled already with their internet services, are probably over $200.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So how do you, I mean, where is the breaking point? And we really are in a revolution right now. We might not, it is being televised, but it's not being televised with an antenna or a cable box. It's being televised over the internet.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I do like about it, because like I said, I've been kind of frustrated too, like, well, what service do I get, or what should I do if I want to see a certain show or a series, like you're saying. The thing I like about it is that there are so many outlets for actors, actresses, writers, everybody to do creative things, again, compared to the days when it was just movies and theaters and three networks, and that was it. So. Yeah. We've got a glut of creativity, which is a fun thing. But again, you need to pay attention and figure out exactly what you want to see and how much you want to pay to see it.
Jim Tirano filling in for Dean Richards. I've got Michaela on the phone. We're in the Pop Culture Club talking about the flood, if you will. Sorry, people in Venice. Well, we're talking about the flood of TV streaming and how many new streaming services are either debuting. Disney just debuted this week, I think it was on Tuesday, and to 10 million subscribers. They're expecting 70 or 80 million in the next 5 or 6 years. Netflix certainly has led the way with this. It's amazing to think that Netflix started by sending you hard copy CD or DVDs in the mail.
Right, you had to mail them back. Remember that?
And they wisely, about 5, 6, 7 years ago, decided to get into the this idea of a streaming service and to draw people there with content. They got a 2-time Oscar winner, Kevin Spacey, to put together a show called House of Cards, which started to win some Emmys. And from there, they have never really looked back. And I guess you mentioned it earlier, and I'd like to pick up on that point. You mentioned about the content and,
right,
and how it's compelling. I guess my question is, how long can the quality of the content that streaming services offer live up to the standards that they have set for themselves? How many, are there that many House of Cards types of shows and The Crown and different, you know, shows like that? Can as more streaming services come out there, do you think that the talent pool is big enough to continue to offer compelling content? Or will we get to the point where many people feel like with cable that we've got 57 channels and nothing on?
Well, here's what's going to happen, I think. Okay, first of all, that's a great question. I think every outlet is going to have their two or three tent poles, the ones that everybody loves, the shows. But I don't think they're going to run as long-running series like they used to. Okay, like remember a TV show on a network could go 5, 6, 10 years, whatever. I think there's going to be limited runs for each of these tent pole shows that says, okay, like one of the new ones is the one with Jennifer Aniston, The Morning Show. Okay,
right. Yeah, it's on
Apple
TV.
How many seasons does that last? Okay, is this going to be a limited thing, and then someone's going to have to come up with something new? So that's something that I think is going to play into this, depending on the outlet that you have.
Well, like I said, because I mean, I do remember back in the days when we got cable, and all of a sudden this whole world of television choices were available to you. Just kept hitting the up button on your channel on the remote, and there was a new station there with,
yeah,
something else to watch. But then, as time went on, all of a sudden, and let's be honest, you know, we all have a basic cable package, but at the end of the day, don't we watch about 5 or 6 channels?
Right. Yeah. Favorites. You might have your favorite news one,
right,
your favorite movie one, your favorite original show one, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I'm your boogeyman. That's what I am. I'm here to do whatever I can. Be it early morning, late afternoon.
Jim Tirano with you. I am your boogeyman. I don't know if I'm exactly your boogeyman. I was around during the disco days. Were you a disco guy, Mick?
No. I love Saturday Night Fever, the movie, but I was not a disco guy.
Yeah, you know, I was in my, I was about, you know, 11 or 12 years old, and I mean, it was on the radio. Radio stations dropped their formats and went all disco. It was certainly the rage. But, you know, and now there's been a a revisionist history about disco music. Many people are, you know, they, especially here in Chicago, we point to disco demolition, where, you know, disco records are blown up at Sox Park, and it's become a, you know, a major event and one of the great radio stunts of all time. It's even in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Because the game was actually, it was called off.
Yeah, it was forfeited by the Sox. Yeah,
the second game of the doubleheader against the Tigers. But now, suddenly, and I don't know who's starting this, but they're saying that the rock versus disco fight that there was, you know, the whole disco sucks movement, was racially motivated.
No, that's revisionist.
And
history.
That is completely revisionist. I was there. I was listening. I was a rock fan. I was not thinking that, well, most disco bands were African-American and I was a rock fan because most rock bands were white. That had nothing to do with it.
It was the fact that there were different lifestyles as far as, like, you know, going out to a disco and cruising bars and all
cruising,
that.
It was,
and the music, you know, was a bit more monotonous than, say, rock music, and maybe a little less, I guess you'd say, not as pure as, like, a rock and roll song with guitar and all that. It was those things that mattered. It was not, you know, oh, it was Hispanics or African-Americans into this, and I'm not because I'm not into that. No, it had nothing to do with it.
I've seen a few documentaries about disco and things like that, and I've seen somebody who I understand would have a grudge, and it's the producer and the musician and the songwriter Nile Rodgers.
Okay,
who, if you remember, he was the head of Chic, who had Lay Freak.
Right, producing for a lot of different artists.
Yeah, and he had the big song Lay Freak, and you know, he's African American, and he's been putting forth this notion that the whole anti-disco craze was racially motivated, and that's just not true. I mean, he may feel you know, a little personal because his career almost went right off the deep end when disco you know, died. But, you know, several years later, disco came back with a new name called dance music.
Right.
And suddenly Madonna was there, and Nile Rodgers was producing David Bowie's Let's Dance. And so, you know, in the end of the day, the word disco may have died, but dance music has never died. It became Britney Spears music. It became Beyonce music. It became Taylor Swift music. Dance, people love to dance. They were dancing to Glenn Miller before they were dancing to the Bee Gees.
Sure, sure.
You know, so I bring this up because, you know, not only am I your humble and lovable host, but I am also one who can give away prizes.
Ooh, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got a pair of tickets to see KC and the Sunshine Band.
Hey now, here we go.
That's why
do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
That's why I'm your boogeyman. KC and the Sunshine Band perform live on Saturday, December 28th at the Silver Creek Convention Center. The Silver Creek Event Center at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. And you can get ready to get down tonight at the Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. But I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to see KC and the Sunshine Band. Mick, real quick trivia question. Do not go on your phone and don't Google it.
Okay.
What is KC's real name?
Ooh, I don't know.
I
was stumped.
I was going to ask that, but I'm just going to you know, give these away. So I'm going to say, let's see, seventh caller. Seventh caller at 312-981-7200 gets a pair of tickets to see KC and the Sunshine Band live on Saturday, December 28th at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo.
What was his first name?
Harry Casey.
Really?
That's okay. Where the KC comes from. It's Casey.
So Casey.
Exactly.
But Casey and the Sunshine
there
Band.
There you go. You see?
It's funny you mention that because I remember when his songs or their songs, the band's songs, were playing on the radio. And, yeah, they were played at discos. But when I heard them on Top 40 radio, I didn't think of it as a disco song. I just heard of it as, oh, that's a pop song. It's kind of a fun song. That's all I thought of it as.
And say what you will, but I love the song Boogie Shoes. I want to put on my boogie shoes.
Yeah, they had several hits. They had a song called Don't Go, which was a really cool song. There were a lot of them,
I go to the phones here, and is Alec there? Are you there, Alec?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, you are the winner of the Casey and the Sunshine Band tickets. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Now, I got a question. You sound kind of young. How old are you?
Well, I'm 46.
Oh.
I don't know how young
Wow, you have a young. Wow, you have a young sound. I thought you were a millennial. I was very impressed that you wanted to go see Casey and the Sunshine Band. But so where were you in the where were you when Casey and the Sunshine Band? Were you too young for the disco world or what?
Yeah, I really missed the whole disco thing. I was born in 73
I got news for you. You didn't miss much.
Well, I kind of feel like I missed the big party when they burned all the records at White Sox Field.
Well, that was cool. There's no question about that. I'm an old rock fan. So is Mick Kaler on the phone with me as well. We're big old rock fans. But yeah, I mean, as I said before, disco was it swept the nation and it swept the radio stations as well. Record sales, you know, Saturday Night Fever and the Bee Gees. But I didn't hate disco because there was some kind of anti-black music. I love Motown music. I love African-American music. It's just that, you know, disco music on the radio was kind of boring to listen to because, like you said earlier, Mick, it was made to be played in the club.
Right. So something that you just repeat,
yeah.
A little sample. And it was more monotonous, for sure.
Yeah, so in a club, when it was loud and you're dancing and you're partying, yeah, you hear the same chorus or the same words over and over again. It's fantastic. But when you're sitting at home and you're driving your car and just keep hearing, I'm your boogeyman, that's what I am, how many times can you hear that?
You know, I don't think you get to pick your time or place. Music is music wherever it's played, man. So, you know, if someone wants to bring on the disco, bring on the disco.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. Yeah, no, there's no question. But I guess I think that, like Nick was saying, the monotony of it on the radio at the time was just, when you listen to it, you weren't, you know, surrounded by, you know, people with gold chains and women with tight dresses. So there's a little difference there. But regardless, you are gonna be boogieing with Harry Casey, better known as Casey and the Sunshine Band, on December 28th. So congratulations there, Alec.
Hey, that's great. I've never seen them. I'm going to take my wife. We're going to get down tonight, or that night.
There you go.
There you go.
And you know what? If you like it on the 28th, don't forget, I've seen commercials for it, and Shawnee referenced this earlier in the show. In February, there's a disco cruise.
Oh, nice.
And you could go you could go for 4 days with KC and hear nothing but KC and a bunch of disco stars. So you might want to keep you might want to keep February open.
That might be too much disco.
Well, thanks for listening and congratulations on winning. Have a good time on the 28th,
hey,
KC.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Great. And the Sunshine Band at the Four Rivers Casino in New Buffalo. Well, Mick, I'm going to have to say goodbye because we're up against NFL football today.
Oh, that's right. It's a Sunday, bud.
But I just want to ask you one quick question, since this is officially the food segment.
Yeah.
What does a Mick Kaler have for Thanksgiving?
For Thanksgiving? Well, I usually go to a friend or neighbor's house, and whatever they're cooking is what I'm eating. So,
but do you have a favorite? I mean, when we used to be with the family and everything, when your parents were alive and stuff, what did the Kalers used to have on their table?
Oh, we just had the regular turkey, but my favorite thing was a big serving of mashed potatoes, and instead of butter or gravy, I would put creamed corn into my mashed potatoes.
Isn't that just the perfect combination?
Oh. Ultimate comfort food right there.
You know, I mean, and I don't know why. That shouldn't work. On paper, that shouldn't work.
It always did, though.
But, yeah. You know, it's so funny. My wife, about 20 years or so ago, got this recipe for a broccoli casserole. Right?
Oh, okay.
And it's delicious, and it's got broccoli and cheese, and it's you know, it's got a crust on it.
I was going to say probably a little bit of creamy stuff in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's like, you know, cream of mushroom soup in there and the whole deal. And so it was so funny because she got this recipe from a friend, and so she started to make it, and she brought it to the family dinner on Thanksgiving. And so, of course, this is 20 years ago, when we weren't as, shall I say, nutritionally informed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, at that time, when you hear broccoli, you think it's healthy.
Right. Yeah, this is a good thing for you.
Yeah. So, you know, Jamie brought broccoli casserole. How healthy.
We're eating healthy today, honey.
Yeah. So my family went through this giant tin of broccoli casserole for like 3 or 4 years straight. Oh my gosh, Jamie brought the broccoli casserole, you know? And they would be, and it's like, hey, pile it on. It's good for you.
Sure.
It's broccoli.
Yeah.
So 1 year, my aunt asks my wife, so, wow, she's like, this is so good. What's in it? And my wife's like, oh, well, there's Ritz crackers.
And, cheese, Velveeta cheese.
Yeah, there's about 4 pounds of cheese. There's
some creamy soup.
There's creamy soup and like 4 florets of broccoli.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, and you should have saw their eyes open.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, you told them there was no Santa Claus. Oh, my God. And so from then on, my wife was asked not to bring the broccoli casserole anymore.
The good food. Just like when you sometimes see in a movie or something where somebody orders broccoli and it's covered with a giant thing of, you know, boiled cheese where it's just a big cheese sauce. You
yeah,
know?
It's like the Seinfeld episode with the non-fat yogurt.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, this really isn't as good for you as you thought.
Hey,
it
yeah, keep going. It's non-fat. It's non-fat. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me today, Mick. Enjoy
hey,
the conversation as always. Have a good holiday, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. We'll talk to you.
Mick Kaler here at the Pop Culture Club at WGN 720 with Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. I'm going to be filling in for Nick DiGilio on Monday, November 25th from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. So if you like what you heard now, I hope you'll get up early and listen to me from 1 to 5 on Monday, November 25th.